And I envied the boy, grabbed the toy, and ran away and found the joy, while I stood in the shadows, wondering why. Hips and ice and fire and gloom and glow. When did they leave the man? In the river of the night I see a face that shimmers down to me, but like a falling star burns itself out. Like a dead leaf scrapes the gravel ground, my voice cries out a gravel sound, but no one's there. It's all so vague when you meet the plague, and I keep coming back for more. La 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 la.
Well, that was fun. Yeah, Scott Walker, The Plague, Clement Vercelletto with Le Serpente Stellaire, and Easy Take from the Macunas Ensemble. And of course, the wonderful, excellent, superb Sitton Dyco, Susquehanna Industrial Tool and Die Company. Thank you once again for coming out here and doing the show. And thanks to Scott for engineering, always doing a fantastic job. Thanks everybody for listening, everybody on the playlist comments board. Thanks for checking in. I'll see you next week. This is Freeform Radio WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County, at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. My name is Fabio, and I'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition coming up almost immediately.
To Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? As we become delighted and horrified together. As we explore Hammer White Productions, Quatermass and the Pit, based on a real movie. My best friend when I was growing up was a small black and white television. And I say my best friend. I imagine sometimes it came to life and it was animated. I would stare at it more than I stared into the eyes of any real person that I know. So I'm saying it's a friend. And my friend showed me so much of the world. I would look into its eye and it would say, "Hey, look, it's just Three Stooges. Look what they're doing." And I'd say, "That's fascinating." And it would say, "Have you noticed they have different costumes on for different eras or periods?" So I would notice that, and this became my education. Occasionally, I would stay up late, and there would be a creature feature on. And that is where they would show one of the UHF stations. What's that? Well, they used to be able to shoot TV through the air, just like it was Wi-Fi. We don't know how to do that anymore. So we switched to cables. But the cables talk to each other through the air. I don't know how it's done anymore. But we still get our movies. That's all I care about. I don't know how the food gets here. I just go to the front door and there's a sandwich. And I eat it. You know, God bless us all. So I watch the creature feature and sometimes there'd be a scary movie on. And I remember one from when I was a child. And I will never forget the name of it. It was called 5 Million Years to Earth, which is a really strange name. That's why I remembered it, because I'm not sure that makes any sense. But what struck me and my little child sensibilities were the grotesque, swarming, alien locust people. And I found it, you know, distressing. But it's so wonderful when you're young and vulnerable. It touches you on a psychic level. You go, "Oh, look at that. That burned and scarred part of my soul. And that's going to stay with me for my whole life." And then when you revisit it as an adult, you go, "That wasn't even very hot. How did I get burned on that thing?" Well, you know, that's the wonderful thing about art, is it can be have such a big impact on the small-minded. No, I'm kidding, of course. It affects us all. And good art is just like cabbage or something else, that if it's prepared well, and it can leave you changed and feeling different inside. That's what I'm going to speak about. And I like to, you know, that when you're shown these things, so my friend, the television, showed me this movie, 5 Million Years to Earth. And it showed me other things, ads, and you know that the way that I personally work things out is through imitation. So that's how I learned how to talk. People start talking around me, and I start talking like they talk. I know it's derivative. It's silly. What am I, parrot? But I had no one else to go by. And as I got older, I thought, well, now my voice can be anything I want it to be. I don't have to sound like Uncle Fred. I don't have an Uncle Fred. That's why I said that. I don't want to hurt any of my real uncle's feelings. Although, they are. Oh, to the person dead. They're all dead. Oh, my. No, I have a living uncle. So, bless you. I forgot about you. So, my Uncle Blip is still alive. Bless his heart. I hope I don't, by saying that, I don't, you know, go, "Oh, he was until you said that." Years later, I found out that this was a British movie, and it was made by Hammer Films. And they made all those Christopher Lee vampire movies. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that are in incredible technicolor, and the blood is this wonderful, I don't know which red paint. I was thinking, what's the Sherman Williams, I think they used. I don't know what they have in Britain, but it looked to me like Sherman Williams Bride of Dracula is the color. And I had painted some furniture that, so that's how I know it. I got it at the store. So in England, this was called Quatermass and the Pit, because one of the characters' name is Quatermass, and I'll get to that in a minute. Here's the minute. So there was a series on the television called Quatermass Experiment, And Quatermass in the Pit was one, and I think there was three series. And then they later went on to make movies out of them. And this is what they did with Quatermass in the Pit. It was a television series, like a six-part limited one. People gather around that set, and it was a pre-Doctor Who. It was late 50s, so it was sort of proto-Doctor Who, but it had that Who-iness. It was Who-y. Just like the later show, but it was the sci-fi, and that we all enjoy. And I hope I'm saying that right. I hope it's not skeefy. I just read what they give me. I know that's lame. I should be thinking, so. I thought you improvised. No. It's all, I'm reading a script, and it's terribly well acted. I said, well, the script is not very well written. I know. It's a big team, to be, you know, realistic. We want to have that verite is what they call it. I say, oh, that sounds like something that people would. There was a mark in the script that said stutter. Isn't that something? Everything is controlled. Nothing you're hearing is spontaneous, is it? I don't know. We don't know. Well, listen, I'll tell you what. I've got such a treat for you. I hope it's a treat and not a punishment. One person's treat is another person's choking hazard. So I say, is it all right if I get this candy to your baby? Whoop, too late. So you have to say, is it throat size appropriate? Is it chemically appropriate? I just gave your dog some sugar-free gum. Is that all right? You know, no. So I hope this isn't like giving you a big wad of sugar-free gum that you're going to choke on like a puppy. We don't want that. So, but what I've done is I've made it up. I've done the whole movie. Well, it's very short because the original Quatermass in the Pit, 5 million years to Earth, is movie length. And what I've done is made it one TV show episode length. That's how I think. I was programmed like that. Say, just think in half hour. It's not even a half. You don't even have to write a full half hour. If it's a popular show, it's going to have lots of ads. So all you have to really do is just, write, what is it, 24 minutes or something like that? How many pages? I forget. I used to want to try. I said, I'm going to write some. Everyone thinks that, including me. It's so embarrassing. There's two things that I thought, I bet I could be in a band. And I bet I could write television shows. And everyone thinks that. And everyone can. I just don't know how you go about it, really. So, but I tried a little bit, so I would write. And then I realized if it's on the radio, no one's paying attention. You can just do it everything you write can be produced. And that's my ratio. So if you ask somebody who's actually in the television, you say, how much of what you've written has been produced? And they'll say, maybe 20% of what I've written has actually been produced. That's generous, by the way. And they'll ask me and say, what percentage of what you've written has been produced? And I say, 250. There have been things produced that I haven't written yet. How about that? What if I told you that? So I think that's a pretty good ratio. I feel like in many ways I identify with Christopher Lee. I'm not as tall. He's not in this, by the way. I don't know why I'm saying this. So there's a guy, he's not in the movie, but there's a guy named Brian Dunleavy who played Quatermass. And you're going to want to put an R in there if you keep saying it. And I may have, but I don't care. It's just hard to say it because we have, see, in the UK, say Quatermass, they know Quatermass. But here, we have a thing called Quartermast, which isn't a thing. But, is it though? I don't know. Is it the one with I think it's like a sweatshirt where the zipper only comes down a little way. But I could be wrong. But I think that's what we would call a quartermast. They call equator. So this Quatermast fella, Bernard Quatermast character, played by where all famous people are from in the United States, Cleveland native Brian Dunleavy,
We have every right to build rockets.
I love it. I love anytime there's an American in any British film, it's like, ooh, what is that? It's like the, you know, in like Planet of the Apes, where some of them are gorillas and some of them are I don't know, gibbons or I don't know what. I don't even remember. Well, that just feels like that a lot of times. So that's the thing. Now, I've done my version, and I can only do so many voices.
How many?
Three.
Really?
Yes, and then I just change the pitch. And I don't really do accents. I come from the tail end of the generation that thought they could do accents. And I apologize for that. But here I am French. And I don't want to do that. I don't know if it's offensive. Some of it's not offensive, like doing that, the French voice. Why? I don't know. I get... Why couldn't you make fun of French people? I don't know. The Bourbons? Haiti? I mean, I guess they're evil. They're not evil. Close French friends. No, nobody is... hey, if we could be held responsible for what... our ancestors did. We should. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't mind being on the run. I look back and I go, I have disassociated myself from there, or dissociated rather. That might be the one time you can use disassociate, because dissociate means something different. That's like when you take ketamine. And sometimes people mispronounce it, disassociate. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if that's a word and it means like to break up, like to not associate with your family.
Get to the movie.
I hear you. I'm trying to, you know. Oh, my goodness. I think it's impolite to get right to a thing. And that's why I don't own a restaurant. You say, where's my order? Well, listen. I'm not going to. Why would I bring it right to you? It's like that's what you came in for. Gross. It feels you're making our relationship feel transactional. Instead of you came into my place where I have food and I'm going to get you some. And then you're going to pay a little just to help out because what? I'm not running a charity. That's how I look at it. So, oh my goodness. I hope that you have that sense of community and spirit. Oh, I love you so much. It's not always easy to live next door to your neighbor. But really, you have no choice because whoever lived next door is your neighbor. And so you might as well get up in their business so you control their lives a little bit and maybe direct some of their choices. And that way, I mean, I know it's a pain, but you can't keep isolating yourself forever. That's the, you know, you got to say, listen, I know I don't know you very well, but I just, let's talk about like your friend group or something and how you could maybe... if you made different choice, I don't know if they're going to go for that or not. Nobody tries. So this is where church is wonderful. If you can get somebody in a church, then you've got them. And then you can start telling them their business. So I'm not opposed to religion necessarily. I do think,
tell me your opinion. Tell me your opinions, person on the radio, about religion.
Well, I shall. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to do this little movie funny thing. Because I think that the real deep spiritual messages are large. And sometimes they transcend language. You know, they're feelings. I'm trying to shoot out feelings that might be of use. I'm not trying to be trivial. I'm just, I'm trying to speak in a cosmic language. Now, these creatures in the movie that we're going to see, and I apologize for all the ads, but there's a lot of ads, but like I got it for free. So I want you to think about what is in the human heart and whether it is fate, whether it's destiny, or whether we can transcend these horrible tendencies to be like murderous Martian insects. And we don't know whether that's what we are or not. You know, we're let to science doesn't know. It did, but now everything's up for grabs again. I love that. It's like the slate's just clean the slate. We're going back to zero with science. Oh, I got dibs on gravity. That one's going to be an easy one to prove. I'm gonna. If you disagree with me, you lay on the ground, and I drop stuff on your head. But I don't know about the subtle ones. I got some friends that are good at math. They're gonna go ahead and do Maxwell's equations and stuff again. Reintroduce those once society collapses. And I don't know which one I'm gonna do. I've got. Let's see. What do I know? I've got some esoteric knowledge. So you'll have to come to me.
You said, we don't know all the books. We don't know anything about, I was going to say Twin Peaks, but we know too much. Too much has been left. We have too much information. We tried burning all the books and the explainer videos, but there's just not enough time or people.
So some things will not ever, but some things, like the other day I said to some young friends, and I say young friends, my youngest friends are like 40. So I said to my kid friends, I said something about, they said something, I forget the name of them. Oh, well, I'm having a, but there was a movie they mentioned, and I said, oh, that's like the movie written by Larry Hovis of Hogan's Heroes. And they said, who from what? Can you imagine? So, Out of Sight, that's what it was. So it was a George Clooney movie, Out of Sight, and I said, there's also Out of Sight written by Larry Hovis at Hogan's Heroes, and they didn't know who that was, and I thought, I mean, good, but I was just using it as an example of things are forgotten. So that's maybe a good example. You say, well, how much harm did Hogan's Heroes do? I mean, I know MeTV is like dredging up the past. Why are you doing that? That's like MeTV is like this person who got out your divorced parents' wedding album, and then they're like, let's look through this. You know why? All these people that are divorced are dead. I know. Okay, can we move on? But well, those were good times, though, weren't they?
They were.
Some of them were. You're right. Look at that. Look at that cake being smashed in the face. I wonder if it was a good cake. Oh, are you taking up? Let's listen. Let's start the movie. Okay, I'm going to start the movie now. Without further ado, here is Quatermass and the Pit, a.k.a. 5 Million Years to Earth.
Five Million Years to Earth. A Hammer White production. Starring Darren McGavin as Bernard Quatermass. Edward Everett Horton as Matthew Roney. And Peter Falk as Columbo.
Most horrifying film ever made. Hammer White Films presents The Blood of Dracula's Daughters. Gruesome vampire action. Rated T for terrifying.
Bad teeth got you down. Smile! You've got Brighto!
I like flavor.
I like flavor.
I like flavor.
I like flavor.
And I like flavor.
My whole family likes flavor, especially in their bread. That's why I serve them flavor bread. The most flavorful bread there is for sandwiches or just eating anytime.
Flavor bread. Flavor bread.
TBC, Channel 9 in Bropus.
What are we digging anyway?
A hole, I think.
Brilliant. A hole for what?
If we stop here, it's probably a niche for a piscine. But if we keep going, it's a tunnel.
Since it's Hobbs Road subway station and not a church, tunnel makes the most sense.
Agreed.
Hey, stop, you guys. Stop the shoveling and come here. Stop the belt.
What is it?
Will you look at that?
What is it?
It's a skull.
Get a load of those dead eyes.
Yeah, it looks like you. And those teeth. Is it a murder victim?
Nah, that thing's a fossil. It's been there for hundreds of years, probably.
Should we give it to Goth Tommy for a candle holder?
No, it might be worth something. Call the university, and maybe the cops. They always like to look at ancient skulls and get confused.
Get back, stand clear. Press credentials and scientists only.
Hey, Doc, are you in charge of this ape-man dig?
I am Dr. Mickey Ronnie, professor of physical anthropology and paleontology and neurology at Kearney College and Museum. When the fossilized remains were discovered, we were notified. So this press conference is not exactly official, but I do need your help. This is a very valuable find. Valuable? How valuable? To science, there's no telling. Very to extremely. But they only have given us days to excavate and examine this find, and we need weeks to months. What's so special? Well, these are the oldest hominid remains we've ever seen, with double the cranial capacity of fossils half their age.
So they're primitive remains, but with modern brains.
They are 5 million years old. We found parts of a skull and legs and an arm so far. And they seem human, not modern humans, but also not mere bipedal apes of our distant ancestors. This is entirely new.
What do they look like?
Well, I've used the surrounding clay to build a model, and here it is.
Oh, so I look like an ape man.
Yes.
Professor?
Yes, volunteer digger number 12?
I think I hit a pipe or something. Maybe it's a sewer pipe. Glad I didn't bang a hole through it, releasing raw sewage into the tunnel, covering us all with human waste, fetid, putrid human waste.
Well, let me see. Well, say, that could be a bomb from the war.
Oh, a war bomb. Clear everyone out.
Yes, Sergeant. Clear everyone out and contact the army.
Yes, Professor. We should clear out of here now, too.
Yes, that's a very good idea.
Bomb disposal unit coming through. Stand back.
That's right. Tear it all up.
Well, let's see here. From what's exposed, it looks like a henway.
What's a henway, sir?
Not a henway. I mean a Satan.
A Satan?
Yeah, German World War II bomb. Spring bomber, cylindrisch, Oxen... 100. Same for short.
I've never seen one of those with bumps.
And it's cold.
And it's not steel.
Mike doesn't stick.
Say, you fellas don't seem like experts.
No, we aren't. We're in training.
Shouldn't we consult with someone more senior who maybe knows about bombs?
Oh, like Colonel Breen?
Well, if that's the man, then yes.
I'll make the call.
Breen! You can't be serious!
Quatermass, don't be naive. The moon is there as a natural launch pad to wage war against our enemies. The purpose of this rocket mission to the moon is militaristic and entirely under my command.
Well, I refuse. This technology and the exploration of the moon is for everyone. Humanity's edification and exploitation. Not in the bad way that you would do it. I'm appealing this to the top.
This came from the top.
Well, don't think I'm going to quit because you're my new boss.
Not boss, Quatermass, partner. And I look forward to working with you to achieve my goals.
Sorry to interrupt, Colonel, sir, but they found a World War II bomb at Obs Station construction site, and they need your expertise.
Professor, have you ever had your past catch up with you?
Oh, I don't have a past, only things I've done and remember.
Well, I used to be a World War II bomb expert, and now that skill haunts me. Would you like to accompany me to see a real-life missile?
Well, when you pronounce it that way, sure.
What's all this, then?
Oh, Colonel Breen, sir, we found what we think is a German missile.
I'll be the judge of that.
Be careful touching it, sir. The men got frostbite on their hands from doing that.
Frostbite? On their hands? From doing that? Absurd. But all right.
Oh, and it's not metal.
Not metal? I don't like people telling me what is and isn't metal. That isn't metal.
No, sir.
Well, who knows what the Jerrys were up to during the war? They made a very convincing papier-mâché Churchill who made it halfway to Buckingham Palace before its head fell off from the damp.
Blow, you can see the opening. Is there anything in it?
Just more clay, sir. Oh, come see this. It might be a rock. It's another skull.
A skull, you say? Let me through, let me through. Who is this man? I'm Dr. Ronnie from Kearney College of Science and Museum. It's magnificent. Completely intact, unlike the other one. Well, grab your skull and take it with you. We have missile excavating to do.
Doctor, hello, I'm Professor Quatermass, head of the Moon Rocket Program.
Oh, I'm Dr. Ronnie.
Yes, Dr. Ronnie. Do you know how old the skull is?
Well, we think 5 million years old.
Well, that's amazing. How is it that it's so well preserved?
Well, it was protected by being inside the rocket.
Inside the rocket?
Well, wait a minute. How could that be? If it had landed on top of the remains, they would have been obliterated.
Quite the mystery.
Excuse me. Excuse me, I was told I could find a professor here.
I'm a professor.
I'm a professor.
Sorry, Professor.
Sorry, Professor. Which one?
Oh, of course. Never yell Professor in a crowded subway tunnel. Everyone will turn around. No, I'm looking for Quatermass. Oh, that is I. And you are? Oh, I'm rude for not introducing myself. I'm Lieutenant Columbo. I was asked to bring down any records we had of bombs during the war in this area, and I just wanted to say we didn't find any, so that's good news for you.
None. Well, the mystery deepens.
Mystery, sir?
Yes. First we find this ancient skull, and now a rocket.
Skulls? Rockets? That sounds like B-movie stuff to me, if you don't mind me saying. Also, if you don't mind me asking, how do you know that the skull is ancient and not a murder victim or a grave?
Well, I can answer that. The skull has, over many millions of years, absorbed the minerals from around its surroundings and become stone, which replaces the bone of the original skull.
Ah, bonehead, stonehead. My doctor said my head was mostly bone, so I must be some kind of bonehead.
Heads are normally bone.
Ah! And I'm normal, then. Who'll know it? I'll let you go, professors. I have one more question, though, which is crazy. It's a crazy question. I'm not even going to ask it. I'm going to leave now and forget that I was even going to ask. I'm going to drink it away.
By all means, ask your question, Lieutenant Columbo.
Well, it just seems to me that if there were no bombs dropped here, and you also found ancient skulls in a place known for weird happenings.
Weird happenings?
Well, yes, sir. The house above us has been abandoned for decades. No one will live there.
Haunted? Surely you can't believe, Lieutenant.
Oh, I don't believe, sir. I'm just telling you what the people who ran screaming from the house said. Who knows? Some places are just cursed. I don't know whether it's the feng shui or the humidity.
What was that?
The man who was digging out the inside.
Get him out of there. Get him out of there.
What is it, man? What is it?
I saw it. It came at me.
What? What did you see?
Oh, he simply succumbed to the stress of the confined space. He's the type of man unsuited for this work. Get him out of here.
Get him over here to a chair. Who has a flask of whiskey?
I have some brandy.
No, it's gotta be whiskey. I have some. I've got some whiskey here. Okay, man, what happened?
I was clearing out the last of the mud, and I saw a bug or something, and it came at me. It came at me. It just kept coming. It just kept coming.
Calm down. It's okay. You're all right.
It looked like a little goblin or some celebrity we don't like.
Yeah. How did you know?
I'm just reading from the account of spooky goings-on in the area from a book called Weird Stuff on Hobbs Road. On the way here, I said to myself, you know, maybe it's one of those weird things at Hobbs Road that's weird. I'm going to grab this book on the way out in case I need it. You know, I might have to reference it. And right here, wouldn't you know it, on page 29, you have Mary Plunk. She sees a goblin demon.
All right, we get the point, Lieutenant.
I'm sorry, sir. Let's get the young man some help. Indeed. Ronnie, come with me and let's get a look at the inside of the rocket area they cleared.
I'm with you, Quatermass.
Here, you go first.
Thank you. There's some kind of barrier here. It's cool to the touch.
There's no controls or anything in this space. It must all be on the other side of this barrier.
Well, what are these marks?
Well, we didn't make them, sir. That thing's as hard as diamond.
Yeah, it looks like some sort of symbol.
Is it the Olympic symbol?
No, there's too many circles.
Maybe it's a Venn diagram for some sort of genre like metal.
We've tried everything to get through it, sir. Should we bring down Lou and his super drill?
Oh, that's a good idea. Let's try that.
Stand back, stand back. What's this generator for? They're gonna try to drill into the rocket bomb. Oh, that sounds safe.
If this drill can't get through, then nothing can. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but the last job I did, I drilled this thing for the government. It was a safe with 3-inch steel, and this thing went through like a cigarette through butter. Oh, I'm sorry, that's gross. Also, I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Well, I'm glad that you haven't, then.
All right, let's drill. Are you insured, Professor? I'm insured. Insurance is great. Then if something goes wrong, win-win. All right, Lou, let's give it a try. Are you ready, Colonel?
Yes, go.
All right, here goes. That's weird. Nothing. Should I try again?
Yes, try again.
Here goes. Man, I don't know. Normally there would be a hole right there. Try one more time? Yeah, I guess so. Try one more time before my head explodes.
That's enough.
No more. I don't get it.
Oh, get me out of here.
What just happened? I feel awful.
It was the vibrations. It was nothing more than that.
Oh, no, it was something more than that. It was something inside.
Well, we're going to continue to dig and eventually we'll see a big Made in Germany stamp on the side and it'll confirm my belief.
Well, we tried.
Hey, Colonel, come look.
What is it? A hole.
Oh, my drill didn't make that. That's too big.
It looks like it's melted. Ah, oh, that odor. It's not me.
What is it?
It's coming from whatever's on the other side of that barrier.
Oh, it's cracking. Oh, it is. Stand back, everyone. Stand back. It's cracking.
Oh.
Oh, that smell. Like rotten fish.
Ah!
Don't worry, don't worry. They're long dead.
What are they, Professor? What are they? Giant green locust shrimp?
I have no idea, but now that they've touched our air, they've started to deteriorate fast. Let's get these remains out of here.
Oh, good. This is horrifying.
Take them to my lab for examination.
Come on down to Logie's Pizza and Subs and Suds. 45 years, family-owned service, best food in the city, specializing in subs, solids, poaches, and pizzas. Home of the Crushinator, sponsor of the state champion Crow Heights Pin Jammers. Kids eat free on Fridays. Tell them Logie sent you. Papaya!
Everyone at Clima was friendly and helpful. Got me cooled off fast.
Clima was a lifesaver. It's like they cared.
Clima heating and air gets to you fast and gets you cooled off or warmed up, whatever your climate control needs.
We called Clima when the heat went out and they came right over. Dynamis friendly air and made them cookie. How about cookies?
Call Clima Heating and Air when you're the wrong temperature.
They're like a neighbor who controls the weather.
Stellar Door Productions presents Singer-Songwriter on the Ceiling, starring Topol Van Zandt. Four shows only at the Low Bar Theater. Tickets available, advance sale, or day of the show, October 1st through Thursday. Be there.
When your turn comes, will you know what to do? When your turn comes, will you be ready? Get behind the wheel. Your turn is coming.
So let me get this straight, Professor. These ape men are of Earth.
Absolutely.
And these?
Arthropods.
Arthropods are not.
Correct. There is every indication that this vessel, and that's what I believe this rocket to be, came here 5 million years ago, with alien arthropods on one side of the barrier and these ape men on the other.
Well, that begs the question. Why were they on the same ship?
Well, that's not how you use the expression begs the question.
I beg your pardon?
You needn't. But begs the question means that the answer you give necessitates the original question.
That's not rocket science, is the problem. I'm a rocket scientist.
The answer is that something brought them here together.
Oh, now you're begging the question.
Well, yes, yes, I am.
Doctor?
Yes, Mr. Kettle?
I've been here for a while, and I have to get home to fix supper for Ma and Pa.
Yes, well, it won't be much longer.
Who's that bright fellow?
That's Mr. Kettle. His brain and cranial capacity are similar to our ape men, so we are testing our optic encephalogram on him.
Oh, is that one of those migraines where you get the sparkly visuals?
No, no, that's an ocular migraine.
Not even close. Stick to rockets, Quatermass.
It basically reads the visual components of his thoughts. When he's awake, it's what he sees. When he's asleep, it's what he's dreaming.
Oh, well, don't hook me up to one of these, please. And what have you learned from the green bug people goblins?
That they bear a striking resemblance to gargoyles and other mythical beings. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Oh, makes you wonder. Hey, Mickey.
Hiya, Lou.
I gotta get back in there and get my super drill.
All right. It's closed off for the night, so you'll be the only one in there. Be quick.
I shall. Oh, where was Moses when the lights went out? In the dark. Yeah. What's up with the lights?
Well, old drill, my friend, you tried. Hey, stay on late. Time to get packed up. Ugh, what the heck? What?
Excuse me,
sir.
Oh, the station's closed for the night.
I'm Lieutenant Columbo. I left my book of weird stuff that happens on Hobbs Road down there, and I need it. Could I just get down there? I'll be 2 seconds. I just need my book for the night.
Oh, okay, no problem. Just be quick. Lou just went in there to get his drill.
I'll be quick about it. Oh, good old Lou. Lou. Oh, Lou. What's the matter? What's going on?
Mr. Lou, what the heck?
Hey, buddy, what's up with you? What's going on with you?
Oh, my son, what's wrong? Come into the church. Oh, my son. Oh.
Knock, knock.
Come in.
I'm sorry to disturb both of you, but I gotta read you something from my book of weird stuff that happened on Hobbs Road. It was in Latin, so I didn't see it right away. That's on me. What it says here, there was among the people a perception of an evil spirit that hath gotteneth into thus as per apples and like under goblins and goings-on of the faithful, signed frustrated.
Well, that's consistent with something evil emanating from the site.
What could it be, though?
Oh, one more thing.
Lou, the drill guy, lovely guy. He just went running and screaming in a zombified state from the excavation site as a force field of chaotic energy tossed objects all around him. Horrifying sight.
Why didn't you tell us this? Where is he?
He ran into the first church of the Second Avenue Reform. I would have followed him, but I had to come tell you. Well, we must go. Lou, what happened? It was... they were everywhere.
Who? Who was? Who were?
They... Who were they? Who were?
They were... Where? Where were they where?
Everywhere. Where? Everywhere. Who were they everywhere?
They were...
All around.
They were everywhere around?
Who was all around?
Were they?
Who were all around?
Who were they? Please leave him alone. He needs to recover. Oh, he's been through so much. I think he's been through evil.
There's some sort of energy that projects itself from that craft.
If we can trigger it, then we can use the optic encephalogram, and maybe we can see what these visions are. All right, Quatermass, do you have the headset on tightly?
Yes, it's not supposed to be comfortable, right?
Correct.
Then all is good.
Miguel, the monitor works correctly?
Yes, Professor.
Professor, I'm going to stand over here to this side in case you need me.
All right, we shan't.
I hope you don't. From your mouth to God's good ear.
Ready, Quatermass? We're going to start the generator. That seemed to trigger it the last time.
Okay, go.
All right, anything?
No. It feels awful, but no visuals.
I'm going to turn it up again. All right, anything now?
No, just extreme discomfort and nausea. And frankly, I can't take it.
Just a little bit more, Quatermass.
Excuse me, Professor. I hate to butt in.
What is it? We're very busy.
Oh, I can see that. You're working so hard. But I'm seeing teams of little green men, sir. Just swarms of bug people running amok or close to amok.
Quatermass, get the device onto Columbo.
I'm sorry to trouble you, sir.
No, no, get it on.
Yeah, put it on him.
Can you see it on the screen, Miguel?
Yes, it's terrible.
Oh, it is that. Boy, what a terrible thing I'm watching right now with these bug people from Mars of the distant past. Breaks your heart.
Gentlemen, what you're about to see is a remarkable view of the past from 5 million years ago on a distant planet. The bug people on Mars, in an attempt to save their race, underwent a vast killing event. And here it is. We believe that what you saw necessitated the goblin shrimp of the red planet to kidnap and genetically modify our remote ape ancestors and return them here, contained within them, genetic code and memory of the cultural values of the locus folk of the before time.
Oh, well, I'm nonplussed, as is everyone here, I think. Same.
This is balderdash. Clearly what this is a German hoaxmobile that roamed these parts during the war dispensing propaganda and papier-mâché MPs. Tomorrow I shall invite all of the press and anyone else, the naive and vulnerable, to the site to examine the rocket and put this nonsense to rest for good.
Breen, you can't be serious.
I am serious.
You're dooming lots and lots of people.
You can't do this. You can't do this, Colonel. It's stupid and cruel even for you, Breen.
Professor, someday you will understand.
Stand back, stand back. You'll all get your turn. Let the TV cameras through.
Colonel Breen, is this really a German hoax?
Yes. This device was one of many that the Germans planted in our city to make it seem like Martians were invading and that they were joining the Axis powers. Anyone with eyes who can see or hands that can feel cold non-metallic material can tell it is simply a good old-fashioned propaganda engineering device.
This is your last chance, Breen!
Tell all these people to go home, Breen. Do the right thing.
Yes, this will cause immeasurable harm. Baldergarsh, Spengleipilo, Golbaflib, it's harmless.
Are we ready to broadcast? I am here live at the Hobbs Road Station, where it was first thought, after the discovery of Ape Man remains, that there was a rocket or bomb or rocket bomb craft that was unearthed. Now we know there is no such thing, but that is... Ladies and gentlemen, it has begun to glow. Glow and vibrate. Glow and vibrate and smell. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's glowing.
Stand back.
Wait a minute. What's happening?
Run, everyone, run.
Columbo.
Professor Ronnie, are you okay?
Yes. Yes, I'm fine. Have you seen Quatermass?
Oh, he ran off with a crazed look in his eye that way.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a demon.
It's a vision of the Martians. They've infected our minds or triggered some primal memory, that's it. It's the hive purge all over again. We must destroy that apparition in the sky.
But how, Doc? How do we do it?
The devil, it is said, is destroyed by iron. If we swing that crane around...
Watch it, Professor. It's the Professor.
Quatermass, don't you recognize me?
No, I'm running amok.
It's me. Slap, slap, slap.
Ronnie, what's happening?
The alien mind has taken over. It's drawing power from the craft and projecting it into our minds through that. We must short-circuit it with the crane.
All right. Is that something you're interested in doing?
Well, yes, I'll do it.
Good for you. That's amazing.
Well, yes, just help me fight off the horde so I can climb the crane.
Climb, Ronnie, you amazing son of a gun. He's doing it. Swing it over. Oh, Ronnie!
think we're safe. It's a shame the professor couldn't be here to share this moment.
Oh, no, he did a good thing, though. Somebody has to go there and destroy the aliens. I think we've all learned a valuable lesson. Also, I saw Breen melt. Oh.
Wow. Wow, that really makes you think. That really makes you think if bug people from the ancient past really did go get some apes, put their thoughts in the ape's head so that it continued their tradition of being monstrous. They didn't want to lose that. They know we're going to lose our society. We're all going to die. Our planet's going to go extinct. But we are so proud of our murderous, monstrous hive mind that we, let's go get some monkeys, teach them how to be locust-like. Put them back on Earth. We're calling it Earth, because that sounds, we couldn't think of a more ugly word, said the Martians. Earth, like that. So they named it, too, and put the monkeys back on there, and then the joke's on them. The monkeys turned around, evolved, and made the movies. So they didn't plan on that, did they? So we went back and visited the gorillas. Now they're making movies about their own origin story. And so I hope that you were fascinated. One of the reasons that I was terrified about this was the, what they call the cranioencephalogram or something like that, the scary mind-reading helmet that can see your dreams. And of course, they're in this wonderful black and white, low-res, like security camera. It's like the old Fisher-Price Pixel Vision camera. That's what your dreams look like, apparently, according to this device. And when you have the ancestral memory, or whatever they are, then there are these bugs swarming on Mars. My ancestral memories are just people in straw boaters going,
cheerio, well done on the three-legged race.
Something like that. I've got that image in my mind. Oh, our family peaked there. I close my eyes, and all I see is these gentlemen in striped trousers. And I don't know what they're enjoying. Some kind of park. They're in the park. And I don't know what they're having. A fruit? Like a pear? That seems like an old-timey fruit. Fruit's gotten better. Boy, they have fruit now they didn't have before. That's because they didn't have some of the food dyes they have. There weren't as many blue flavor fruit. I don't never see that one in the wild too much. They say it's blueberry, but it's not. Blue is its own flavor. And it's wonderful to have synesthesia, because then you don't really have to make anything a particular flavor, I guess. And that's their rationale for making all of the crunch berries taste the same. Now, I'm not going to prove it to you. I've already done a video where I eat them, and they really all taste the same. So that one's blue, that one's red. They're all going to be different flavors. You know who put that in your head was lemon, yellow, orange, or whatever, that company. That the yellow bits of cereal were going to be lemon. They're not going to. You think they're going to go to that trouble? See, what I would do. So if you got a bowl of cereal, you got yellows, greens, reds, what have you, right? So we'll make them lemon, cherry, strawberry. No, make every one of them taste like lemon, cherry, strawberry. Do you follow me? That way there won't be any variation when you eat them. Otherwise, you say, oh, boy, oops, all lemon. Now, why are you talking about this? Seems like nonsense. No, because it has to do with art. And it has to do with the whole being contained in the parts.
And this is actually a very profound thing. So the next time you're eating Captain Crunch, say, oh, I'm very sophisticated. I'm eating Captain Crunch or what have you. Think about it. For a minute, you actually are being quite sophisticated in your thought, because that's about, like I said, I forget what branch of philosophy, but it's one of them, one of the lower ones that's easy to get on. Some of those branches are philosophy. I wouldn't even go out on a limb. They're delicate. You break it, you fall, you plunge. And if you plunge intellectually, it's like if you die in a dream, you die in real life. If you die in academia, you die in real life, in a way. So if your ideas are wrong, splat. I feel like that with the radio show, by and large. I think, what's my legacy going to be? None. That's right. I'll have to deal with that anyway. So it's nothing dealing with it professionally. Dealing with it, you know, your actual mortality. That's fun. So just skip ahead and do that. And stop worrying about your career. As long as you're making money and eating and everything like that. Also, you don't have to, you can live in a really rattier place than you do. Well, I like a nice, everyone likes a nice place. But you don't want to work yourself to death just to because you say, oh, I like carpet, or I don't like carpet. It depends when you're living. I don't know. I have a time machine. Sometimes fancy people have carpet. Sometimes like, gross, who has carpet? I have hardwood floors. Hardwood floors, that's for the poor. Isn't that weird? It's when you are. Really, that matters as well. I'm just glad you're with me. I'm not even pretending. Oh, my goodness. I think, essentially, I'm a gentle soul, delicate, vulnerable like a Dalek, inside the inside of a Dalek, the creamy middle, the little calamari inside the armor. And that's me, inside the kettle. Ooh, there's a little octopus in the kettle. That's how they got the inspiration for the Dalek. And then stick a plunger or a whisk in the end of the kettle.
Well, look at that.
It looks like an alien. And that's how they did it for the Doctor Who. I wonder if they got that from me. Because I think I'd done that in the 50s. And now I'm thinking back. Because Doctor Who is what? 64 or something like that? All I know is Doctor Who accidentally killed Kennedy. And he didn't mean to. And then, can you imagine that? You got Doctor Who and you got to complain about that. You know.
Oh, the Kennedy assassination stole my thunder.
How much, really, are anybody going to have sympathy? But look who it worked out better for. Who'd you rather be, a Doctor Who or a Kennedy? And yes, some of them are disappointing. But some of them are pretty awesome, like David Tennant. So I just think it's what you do. Oh, my goodness. My heart swells knowing that I have friends like you. Are we friends? I think we are. And I'm up for not putting it up for a vote, if that's anything. Oh, bless you so much for listening to me. I'm Hardy White. You're listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, or online, WFMU, Rockland County, New York City, New York. Did I say that? And online, WFMU.org, worldwide. And it's such a blessing that you're with me, and I'm going to do that thing that makes Scott so happy, where I just end right on the one-hour mark. And why is that important? Because of a little deficit one way or the other, and you're lining up all the shows, somebody is not going to... I don't know if you've ever followed Clay, but it used to be, I was like, oh, my show's actually 50 minutes. That's good. I mean, I'll have to do less. Well, bless you. I'll see you next week.
name was Ebony.